Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. Final round of questions. Then I'll let these folks go. So today happens to be the anniversary of a significant event in American history. On this date in 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And I know you have a fondness for Kennedys in that time. That augured in a period of, you know, somewhat intense political violence in the country. Do you have any thought or reflection on the anniversary today?
Well, I grew up in Boston, and so having an affinity for the Kennedys is in part of the air that you breathe. And it was that ethic about service to country that really inspired me to public service. And so I derive a lot of strength from their example, from John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and their idealism and the beauty of their rhetoric and the loftiness of their ideals, I find deeply inspiring. We're at another time in American history where there is a glorification of violence. And I don't think that at any time since the 60s has that felt so palpable. It's as if we're just waiting for a tragedy to happen in the hope that it will galvanize us to do something. And we need to act without the tragedy. It's one of the reasons why we the Democratic caucus took that Gosar video so seriously. All of us are getting death threats now. I've been getting them for a long time, but they're now just widespread. People call my office saying they're going to put 3 bullets in the back of my head, and this is the gun they're going to use. And that is not atypical. Threatening my wife, my kids, not just members of Congress, state legislators, school board members. I talked to a school board member from California when I was out there last week who said, you know, I'm done. Not running for re-election. I've got young children. I just don't want to put up with all of the hate. We need to find our way back from this precipice. And I believe we will. I titled the book Midnight in Washington because to me this feels like the darkest hour. And midnight is the darkest hour everywhere in the world. But I also think that midnight is a hopeful time because you know that what follows is filled with light. I have every confidence we're going to get through this. When you're in crisis, it's hard to see how it ends. Sometimes it's difficult to see if it ends, but it does end. This too shall pass.
You're not a subscriber of the saying that it is always darkest before it gets completely black?
No. No, I think we were there already. But I do think that what we do right now in this moment will determine how long it takes to get through this. But we're a deeply resilient country. We've been through worse traumas before. We will get through this. We will get through this. And if I don't get the chance at the end of our talk to thank you, I want to thank you for your extraordinary public service.
I wasn't done. That was not the end. I have a quick lightning round of questions for you, but thank you for that. Your favorite nickname that has been given to you by Donald Trump? I have a favorite.
Well, I don't know if I have a favorite nickname, but there was a tweet that he did, which was an absurdity wrapped in an absurdity wrapped in an absurdity. In which he was complaining that after having called me Little Adam Schiff, spelled with 2 D's and an apostrophe, that CNN misspelled it by using T's and omitting the hyphen, which wasn't a hyphen. And in this tweet castigating CNN for once again You know, it's terrible journalism because they got his Twitter attack on me wrong. He was misspelling words, and it was just so surreal that I couldn't help but laugh at the utter ridiculousness until again I realized, oh my God, this is the President of the United States.
The President of the United States.
But I, one other point,
Adam
on
Schitt?
The nicknames.
Adam Schitt?
I was pencil neck for a while.
Yeah.
Lately, he's taken to calling me watermelon head. And let me just say that a pencil neck and a watermelon head, that's a really tough balancing act.
that's a very strong neck. is what that is. Do we need to break up Facebook?
Do we need to break up Facebook?
I didn't ask you. I asked the congressman.
I think we need to do three things, and I don't foreclose that possibility.
The whole evening, they were very behaved. Throughout the bleak discussion of democracy, I mentioned Facebook.
Yes.
Interesting, right?
Yes, it is. It is. I think we need to get rid of the immunity that they enjoy in the form they enjoy it, so that if they continue to amplify for engagement, which really means amplifying for hate and bile, that they lose their immunity. But I also think that we need transparency about the impact of social media on our lives, research they're already doing but won't share publicly. And finally, I think we need to protect the privacy of the American people. It's the access to everyone's very personal information that lets them micro-target each and every one of us. The most disturbing thing to come out of, in my view, these Facebook whistleblower allegations was research that was done by someone at Facebook who created an artificial woman, a profile of a woman, and gave her very few attributes. She was Republican, she was a mother, and she was a Christian, and she watched Fox. And they plugged that profile into their algorithms to see what it would show this artificial woman, and it directed her immediately to QAnon. And we wonder why millions and millions of people go down rabbit holes, and it's because these algorithms are driving people down those rabbit holes. So I think the antitrust question is a slightly different question, and the practice that I'm most concerned about there is the practice of Facebook gobbling up other potential competitors. So I don't exclude that possibility, but to me the most paramount concern is what they're doing with their algorithms. And if you broke them up and they're still able to do that with their algorithms, it wouldn't solve that problem.
This is a very important question, particularly in this geographical location. Deep dish or thin crust pizza?
I would weigh the
answer very carefully.
See, here's the problem I have, Preet. I'm vegan. And
I knew that.
So,
but you weren't always vegan.
I was not always vegan.
And presumably, as an American, you've had pizza.
In my pre-vegan days, New York non-deep dish pizza was the best in the world. but I would like to make this proffer to any entrepreneurs out there. I have never had a good vegan pizza. If someone can come up with a good vegan pizza, to me, it's right up there with the heart-lung machine.
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday and stay tuned every Thursday.